Hey, everybody, before we get started, as you'll soon hear, Jonah is not there. He had a thing that I had to beep out that he was doing. But if you are in Pensacola, go check him out at Pensacon this weekend. He's there signing, doing panels, I'm sure. And then Saturday night, Back Porch Bar and Grill. Go see him, do stand up, do awesome. Just be a cool guy. But the Back Porch Bar and Grill, check out Jonah Radio on Bands in Town for tickets to that and tickets to just about everything he does. Pretty great. But here it is, your Jonah-less Jonah Radio.
Hey everybody, it's me, Bobcat Goldthwait from the 80s. I like to listen to Jonah Radio just like you on the Scarborough Network.
This is Stone Cold. I'm here just a little bit sweet, but
what do we know about partying or anything else?
Yay! Welcome, everybody, indeed, to Jonah Radio. I am Cash Hartzell, guest hosting for the very much Mexico-bound, in the way that he's bound into Mexico, Jonah Ray. He's already there. He didn't go.
Has bound.
With me, as always, is my guest. You know him.
I'm your guest?
No, I was going to introduce Chris. Neil's here. From the Better Call Saul podcast, its host. You do. You should know that music. You gotta. You work within that music. It's Chris McCaleb. Oh, it loops. I'm sorry. I thought that was gonna sting out. It just loops.
That's okay. Just the 1 minute version. This is like. I wonder if this is what. I think it's Action Bronson.
Oh really?
There's some remix.
There's a 3 minute rapping over this.
There's a 3 minute version and there's a 1 minute 12 seconds.
How long is he like this sting? This to hear.
This one's a minute and 30 something.
Yeah.
I forget how long. I think it's like 10 seconds.
Or okay.
13 seconds. It's some weird length.
It is.
And we're going to play it through the whole podcast.
Yeah, or is this. I'll turn it down if it's going
to
keep going.
I'm waiting for you to introduce him so I can.
I said his name.
No, you didn't.
Chris McCaleb.
That's me.
I thought I said that. Yeah, I didn't. Okay. All right. Now you see what Jonah brings to it. Is corralling this idiocy, so we're mostly afraid.
I'm not afraid of
you're not afraid just of speaking out loud. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jonah Radio without Jonah. Jonah is, let's just say...
Let's recap that he's in Mexico again.
Yeah, he's in Mexico for... ladies and gentlemen, Jonah Radio.
You're going to jinx it. He's not going to get in the fucking commercial.
Well, I'm just, that's what they called him down. I didn't know that was I thought you could only jinx it if there was a.
No.
Like, there's like a match.
Until it hits the airwaves.
I'm sorry. Well, we didn't say which one. There's a hole.
You got to cut it out.
All right. Coming back. Hey, everybody. It's Jonah Radio without Jonah, which means it's a little far reaching, but we got our good friend. He only shows up on the show when Jonah is out of town.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with you.
Yeah, owe you an apology for that.
I I'm a listener of the podcast.
Oh no.
other listeners may remember that the last time I was on, also curiously without Jonah. Interesting. Real okay. Interesting.
I'm not saying that. I will say there is a real reason you're here, okay. And
God.
It is in addition to the fact that you're a pretty awesome guy and are hilarious.
All right, it's getting better.
if you weren't here, it would be me and him the whole time.
Yeah.
No, I figured that.
Yeah, no. So yeah.
That's why I said yes.
Yeah,
I
mean.
He's got a knife.
Yeah, so that is it's just when it's just the two of us, it doesn't
it becomes a Mexican standoff.
Yeah.
Correlation, but of who will do less work
Yes.
In preparation.
And we both did. We did some preparation work this time. We said we're going to come into it. And then Chris, when I contacted you, you perhaps sensing that also offered to do some prep work for this episode, which I thought was really going out on the limb. Not only is he a busy editor, not only does he run a podcast, but he's willing to run ours as well, which is.
I don't know that I agree to run anything.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. We got a social media guy. We farmed that out. Now we're farming out the ship.
Take this ship out of the ocean.
A little dry dock. Yeah. Scrape off the barnacles. I get it.
I was considering having you host and then just us just coasting.
Yeah, just I listen to some AM radio driving around sometimes, and the second tier guys that get called in for the national AM radio hosts are terrible. And it's very obvious, like, the main guy has never met them.
What kind of AM radio are we talking about?
I listen to
Rush Limbaugh AM radio?
I do not listen to Rush, but I have
Hannity?
I can't. I don't know the good ones. Mike Jordan Gallagher is terrible.
I definitely grew up. I was raised by people who listened to Rush Limbaugh. I was raised listening to Rush Limbaugh.
You're from Arizona.
And well, also, he used to take callers and he used to be funny.
Yeah, so did G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And I didn't know his place in history.
No, neither did I.
Yeah, fascinating.
And I've told the story on the podcast before, but I got to talk to him on the phone once. I was working at a magazine, and we talked to Mark Mothersbaugh, and Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo said that while Devo was like super popular, they got invited to Larry Flint's house. Cool. And they were like, that's not really our scene, but when the fuck is this ever going to happen again? So they go to the penthouse mansion, just like
the Hustler mansion,
really like the second shelf down from the Playboy mansion. Yeah.
That's the third shelf.
Yeah.
No, Chic is the third shelf.
Oh, okay. That's a rented two bedroom. That's all that is.
That's an hourly motel. And then so they were there and they were like, yeah, it was weird because Gordon Liddy was doing coke, and I was like, can I put that in the article? He's like, yeah, it was fucking 35 years ago. And I was like, okay. And then I go to the editor and I was like, we got to call Gordon Liddy to like let him respond to this. And I did. And they called us back like within 2 hours. And he was like in a car and he just like started talking. And I was like, okay. And I'm like taking notes as he's talking. He denied everything and then started talking about jumping out of planes and stuff.
And then you ran that, didn't you?
Yeah. The whole paragraph as best as I could remember. Maybe I did record it. I think I recorded it. Seemed like he might be the litigious type.
Are you the Watergate burglar? You think so? Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that did time and bragged about sticking his hand over lit candles for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Something's missing in him, I think. Yeah. For sure.
Well, he gets it from the public, his adoring public.
In
now,
that quote, he talked about how his parents were very busy people and they had a very strict German nanny who was like a huge disciplinarian. And I'm like, oh man, your sex life is so fucked.
Well, that's the kind of insight you get on a Jonah-less Jonah Radio. We are here all night playing your favorite hits. No, I
can't stay here all night.
No,
I just want to.
I was just going with the kind of DJ thing, and I brought absolute.
Yeah. I'm looking for a place to crash. Actually.
This
is going to work out great.
We'll go down to True Value and get you a key.
This is much nicer than the last time. These couches. It? Yeah, I well, feel like. These
we used to be over there.
And I feel like it seemed like things were really falling apart.
No, they still are. We had to redo the couch.
Yeah, I bolted new legs into this couch, and they're not great.
I feel like there was a worse couch.
Yeah, I think one of them got swapped out. This is all very fascinating.
This is good audio. This is good audio podcast.
But yeah, nice, it used to be set up for them to do the Mystery Science Theater writing. So it was like all kind of facing one way, and there was a TV, the giant TV that was too big for the room. Should we kick into a song?
Yeah, why don't we? Here? This is, I have the name of the band written down. They submitted. It is a band called West Midlands. With a song called Dinosaur. You're a pilot, I'm a dinosaur. A prehistoric monster washed upon your shore. You're a scientist, I'm an artifact. I'm a
will say this.
Oh, I thought there was something cool playing.
Did I blow it?
No, I couldn't find my microphone.
Oh man,
it's no, tight ship around here. No, that's a little preview. About
going to dry dock.
Yeah, tight ship, the Titanic.
None of the water's getting out of it now. It's very tight. No, that was a little preview of our Act 3 problem, as I've calling it, because we have a game or we have a plan going in most of the time, but there's always a problem with it.
I've noticed that.
Yeah,
you. Yeah, it's all, it always seems like. Yeah. Maybe like one or two people seems like they're not really
one
on
or
the same
two
page
yeah.
of the three.
Well, and sometimes
two of three
we
is
nail
a pretty
it.
High percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People to
yeah.
Be
no,
on the same
it's a
page.
Goocher.
Yeah. Well, when it's not a demon running demon night gag, it's Jonah not giving
demon night. Interesting. Tales from the Crypt. Demon night.
No,
also,
I'm sorry.
Pretty killer
oh
soundtrack.
God.
Judgment
I think
night.
You're
judgment
about
night.
Oh, damn it. Yeah.
This was the worst idea, having a fan come on the goddamn show.
Emilio Estevez.
Oh, now I'm just a fan.
Now you're just a
wow,
fan.
You're friends with somebody for like 20 years.
Well.
And you're a fan. Always nice to meet a fan.
I thought I was talking to a podcast professional until you started describing the room.
I don't think I was describing the room. I think I was commenting without describing it, which is about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, no, yeah. You did just say that moved over here.
I take responsibility.
Guys, every week we just let the world wash over us and act as nets to gather from the wide world a specific genre of genres, what we like to call Amusing News. Yeah, no, I didn't think I was gonna get that. He really does, and he makes it look like he doesn't even care, and he still does it right.
Yeah.
I farmed out music news this week to Mr. Neil Mahoney because we're both doing stuff we're not accustomed to.
Yeah.
And Neil, you had a general observation about music news sites earlier.
News is now just tour announcements.
But I noticed that as well.
Yeah,
it's
guess who played last night.
Cursory level of information.
It's like
information
guess who played
wrangling.
Last night. Guess who's going on tour. Guess who's back together. Guess who's adding more tour dates. Guess who's playing in Prospect Park. Spring tour. Built to spill on
they
tour.
They really went overboard with those headlines. If everyone's like, guess who's going on tour again?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The guess who is getting out there? Oh, they haven't toured since 89.
Here's the one piece of music news that I found that was like sort of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The Pusha T and Jadakiss collaboration Hunting Season, the rap song that they wrote about killing other rappers.
Oh,
whoa. It's not a reference to the sequel to Good Will Hunting, Good Will Hunting 2 Hunting Season, no. As featured in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
It is not. But they have pulled it from streaming
good
services out of respect for Pop Smoke, who died in a home invasion just recently.
Was he mentioned in the song?
No.
Oh.
But the fact that people kicked in his door and killed a rapper, it's kind of like along the lines of the theory of the thesis of that song.
Jesus but they Christ. So they pulled it from streaming services. So even if you like had it added to one of your playlists, it's now gone.
Yeah. So Pusha T said, Hunting Season was a request that Ice Pick J, rest in peace, always had, and in light of his death, because he died along with Pop Smoke, in light of his death, me and Jadakiss made an incredible song. With that being said, the whole concept of Hunting Season and the hypothetical ideas of killing rappers isn't sitting well with me while we were mourning the recent death of Pop Smoke. Rest in peace, Pop, and condolences to his family.
Wow. That's a nice move.
It's a class move.
It is. Chris, you have anything you'd like removed from your apartment after death?
Oh, man. That's a really good question. Uh-oh.
I'm sorry.
That is something I think about. I've been thinking, I don't know why I've been thinking about it recently, about what when you die, if you die suddenly.
Yeah.
I guess I go back and forth on it. One, do you want to maintain some kind of legacy that is what you've curated yourself to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To not embarrass your significant others, your families, whatever. Or then I've also thought, who fucking cares? Yeah. Who cares? Like, you're dead. You're dead. Wouldn't it be interesting if you leave people a lot of questions? Like, you leave people in a state of panic.
Are you pitching like leaving like just keys to safety deposit boxes and just leading all sorts of false things?
I love this.
I think
shoebox of Mussolini paraphernalia.
Oh yeah. Guy had only left-hand shoelaces. I don't know how he did that, but he had a lot of them.
Somebody I was working with recently had a very close friend pass away, and they had to, he was responsible for sort of like rectifying this guy's digital life.
Oh, wow.
And they were, luckily, they had access to his email. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have access to somebody's email, you're really in trouble as far as trying to get into their stuff, get into their computer and their phone. It's tricky.
Yeah. When I was just in college, a friend of mine passed away, and this was in the days where we had to go grab his porno out of his house. There was DVDs and there were magazines.
Yeah, they had to.
Well,
it wasn't just fucking rave time. He
took the opportunity. Oh, we got to get over there. He's got all that porn.
Black masks.
We don't want his mom having to find out.
We got to get over there. No, he's got the good stuff. The primo stash. He's lying
right there.
Well, hey, you don't want anybody to find out.
Yeah.
He's got to.
Yeah, I think about that too. The number one thing is just any sketchbook, journal, notebook, shred it. Just bonfire.
Yeah, you want it gone with you?
Yeah. Just put it in the box with me.
Why?
I don't want people reading my weird doodles from when I was like 23.
You still have all that stuff?
Yeah.
Can we read it on the podcast? We do a whole episode. I mean,
you can't really
like,
read a drawing of a weird windy dick, but
we can.
You could describe it in the way that I was unable to describe the room. You could describe it for the.
I've seen that weird windy dick picture, and you're denying our future generations.
You've seen one of a bazillion.
Well.
It is interesting. Did you guys read? Were you guys? I can't remember if either of you are Nirvana fans.
Sure.
Yeah. Did you read Kurt Cobain journals?
No. That's exactly why I wouldn't want to do it.
I did.
The Judd Apatow things just made me more steadfast.
The Shandling?
Yeah.
But didn't Shandling want that? Like, weren't they working on something like that before he died?
I guess so. But even still, that's just. Ugh. Stop reading my. Toilet paper.
Yeah, it's hard to it's really hard to read
the Nirvana stuff.
Yeah, because on one hand it's fascinating,
mm-hmm.
and it is. I mean, we always want to. You know, that's why we watch shows and movies. Yeah. Like, we want a glimpse at people's lives. That's why reality shows are so popular. Even though everybody knows, I think, that none of that is real, but. On the other hand, it is. It's icky. I wouldn't want my journal. I don't want somebody reading my journals.
Yeah.
Why do we keep journals?
Well, and then you
if
look
we're
at,
not reading them.
That's the thing is, like, you know, like seeing shrinks and stuff, it's like, oh, you should journal every morning, just like write and write and write. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to do with it? He's like, nothing. Don't even read it. Just, like, just it do it.
Like the artist way.
It's like, oh, okay.
But how are we supposed to, what if, okay, I'll give you this. At what point does I guess you're saying, because it was Kurt Cobain and he couldn't get any bigger, I was going to say, at what point does that person become a big enough genius that you're like, well, it's insight into him and I want insight into this genius? But I guess you're saying that never really goes away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, I'm thinking of like Leonardo's journals where they like went back and were like, oh,
those are more archives.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to, I guess that's the point, is when does it go from old journals to archives?
Historical documents.
Yeah.
If you're important to history.
But
you don't get to choose that sometimes.
Well, but by that token, do you think Kurt Cobain was important to history?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, but you're just saying you don't enjoy them. I was making an argument.
I really enjoyed them, but I also felt icky about it. I'm conflicted. But like, we went to Amsterdam over New Year's,
mm-hmm.
and there's two things in Amsterdam that are very
hookers
different.
And pot.
But yeah,
well, pot's not that different actually.
Different story, but there's two attractions there. There's the Anne Frank House, mm-hmm. which is not a house.
And the daffodils?
And then the Van Gogh Museum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And both there's a common thread in that they're at the center of them is a person who we would not know their story at all if one person didn't dedicate the rest of their life
to telling
spreading that story.
Yeah.
In Anne Frank's case, it was her dad, and in Van Gogh's case,
it was his brother.
It was his brother's widow.
Oh,
his brother died like right after he did.
Oh,
oh wow.
And that like very in like with. If it wasn't within a year, it was within a couple years. And then the widow of, and he had been, the brother had been like an art
dealer.
Dealer. And she spent the rest of her life putting out the like, I mean, they published his letters back and forth, their letters back and forth, and back and forth to the parents, and in really kind of like cementing this myth and getting his artwork out there. And if it wasn't for these people, we would never know these stories. And so again, sometimes you don't, I mean, I think Van Gogh was living his life in a way that he wanted to be celebrated that way.
Yeah.
And Anne Frank also wanted to be a writer. She wanted to, and she was like, she was on a second draft of her journals. I mean, she was rewriting her journals.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. She wanted, she was like, she was thinking ahead and wanted to be a writer, even as a little kid.
And where do you stand on this airplane over the sea debate?
What's the debate?
The Neutral Milk Hotel album?
Yeah.
What's the debate? Yeah.
That it's a theme album or a concept album based on the life of Anne Frank.
I understand that it is woven into a lot of the songs. I think that it's lazy. If we're supposed to believe it is just purely a concept album about Anne Frank, I think it's done in a way that is so obtuse that it's lazy. That album.
Oh, it's a great album.
Love that album.
That guy also was institutionalized 6 months after he wrote that album, wasn't he?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. I know
he was at one point.
I heard is that he just sort of disappeared. Not disappeared.
Yeah.
Like intentionally. Talk about a guy who wanted to create his own myth. I mean, he did that album and then just like vaporized.
Yeah. I got to see him at the Hollywood Bowl.
Great show.
I saw Neutral Milk Hotel at the Satellite. No.
Oh, yeah. That was
Echoplex. Yeah.
I
don't remember if that was good or bad.
It was good. Like there was energy there. Like everybody
Neutral Milk Hotels, but all ukulele.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Neutral. Because Kate Micucci,
Neutral Uke Hotel.
I thought she was there. It was more like a sing along. I'm sure frankly.
Kate loves that. Anytime somebody says ukulele, they're like, "What about Kate?"
Yeah.
Went to college with Kate.
In other news. You guys know about the Harry Nilsson play or opera called The Point?
There's an opera?
Yeah.
Is it like a...
He wrote this weird...
Oh, he wrote it.
Yeah. 50 Years of The Point, Harry Nilsson's wonderful, weird musical fable. So he wrote this like musical about like trying to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a land of people with pointy heads. And then there's this one guy with like a round head.
Oh, wow.
And then he wears like a pointy hat to try and fit in. And they're like, that's just a fucking hat, you nerd.
I had no idea about this.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
And the only reason I know about it is when I was a kid, like local theater company put it on as like a musical, like a play. Like my high school theater teacher adapted it into a play.
Oh, wow.
So here's a little clip.
Once upon a time, a long way from here and a long way from now, there was a tiny village where everything, the houses and the carts, the bridges and
starring
the barns,
Mike
everything, all had points on them.
Bobby
In
Brady?
In fact, it was so full of points that even the people had points. The people.
This is Anna?
But he guessed.
Yeah.
Ringo the main activity really of the village.
Let me see. I'll just skip it.
Well, he's this a guy. He's also in the Fab Four too. That's like he's the only one in both.
He's definitely number four. For sure.
He's number four. He's number four in both.
Hey, Paul. It's Ringo again. Can I pick up? getting this message. Heard you're going on tour again. Really hoping maybe you bring me on tour. Please, Paul. Hello, Paul. If you're there. Hello. I love you. It's late.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
I'm drunk, Paul. Please. If you... I just need this tour, Paul.
Here's what are you talking about? He's got that ruby ring. He's doing so well.
Here's a quote from Mike Lookinland.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a 9-year-old, I could really see the artistry, the evident talent of these guys. Harry Nilsson, of course, but also the animators. And it was a thrill. But as a kid working in the business at the time, it would have been really just another job. But boy, in retrospect, it's turned out to be the thing I actually am most proud of ever being involved in. The Brady Bunch certainly had overall a much larger impact on my life in general, but I'm just really proud of being involved in The Point.
Wow, that's something.
Pretty cool.
Do you think any of the actors on The Brady Bunch, his favorite thing it was they've ever done is The Brady Bunch?
No, because Greg Brady's favorite thing he did was Mrs. Was the Brady.
Mom? Hey, that's still counts as The Brady Bunch.
Soundboard's not plugged in.
No, he's doing music.
Okay, Built to Spill's going on tour again. Hooray. Prince's early 2000 albums are going to be re-released on vinyl.
Oh.
What?
His family is fucking cashing in.
Well, they've got a lot of music to do. That, like, he left so much. Why do they need to put out those?
It's such a money grab. It's just they're repressing them on, like, 120 gram vinyl. Mm. Like,
look, it's expensive to buy all those diamonds and pearls.
Yeah.
That was the thing in his will. He's like, buy all the diamonds and pearls.
All right. Melvin's Buzz Osborne is going to go solo again. Second solo album.
Now, wait a second. Did you guys talk about the Ozzy Osbourne tour on this thing and the fact that he canceled it?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's weird because he canceled it, but then he did a signing the other day at Amoeba.
Yeah.
That I saw that they had advertised it. And I was like, oh, man, I wonder if they're going to cancel that. And there was a line wrapped around the store. And then I saw they had it like Disneyland in that little like weird lot behind Amoeba.
Yeah, where they go back.
They had it like
zigzagging.
Zigzagged, yeah, for people stereotypically dressed in black, like lots and lots of people. I think people may have been sitting in go chairs. It's an affordable and excellent way.
Don't bring your fucking no plugs, endorsement deals
no
on
No free
here.
Ads.
I wish that there's no ads in my life.
No. Welcome
to the club.
Well, that's exactly when, like, that's just a big sign that says on that signing that says last chance. Like, that's all.
Yeah, tour's canceled.
Tour's canceled, but hey, if you want to add $17.50, maybe $32 to your fucking vinyl. This time next year.
Yeah.
Were you guys talking about the Rolling Stones concert?
We did mention
Rolling Stones. They're getting ready to go on another tour after the tour they just had.
Yeah. Because I said if they stop moving, they'll die.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think, like, I saw them a few, I've seen them twice.
Okay. So you have seen them.
Yeah.
Worth it? Good show?
Yes. It's incredible. And it, like, they play, all they're playing is the hits. They're not going to be like, we're working on this new song. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe that happened.
They had some thoughts on the bass.
They know what they're doing. And
I mean, they can fill 2 hours with hits.
Yeah.
They play way longer than 2 hours.
Jeez,
and you can't, like, look.
That's too long. That's too much.
I am out of shape. Mm-hmm. It's not going well right now, exercise wise. It's not a part of my life at this moment.
Uh huh. Get into
Mick
heroin.
Jagger. he's at least a 300 years old.
Yeah.
Visibly, he is Skeletor, and he's in better shape than anybody I've ever. Like, you can't believe the energy he has, and I understand that there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Well, we're not making allegations here, but yes, he's very old, and they do it for so long, and they've. The thing is they've been old for so goddamn long, too. They've been old my entire life.
What a nightmare.
And I'm old now. They're double old.
You're not that old.
I'm fucking 40.
That's not that old.
Yeah.
That's young. You said 40? That's super young.
Yes, compared to you guys. Not compared to our listeners, yikes, who are squarely in the 18 to 30, 34 man, demographic.
We're killing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. The Rolling Stones are going on tour. Do we have any more music news? Any more news of music?
I had something that seemed pertinent to
what do you got?
This is what I love.
Noel Gallagher and ooh, Kirk Hammett cover Fleetwood Mac at Peter Green tribute show.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw that. Gallagher news. I feel like.
Yeah,
you know,
no. I mean, he's not here, but he might listen to this.
Yeah, he's a Liam guy anyway.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying, whenever there's Gallagher news, and I don't mean Gallagher.
Did you listen to the clip of them doing whatever it is, Any Way You Want It? I don't know. What's a Fleetwood Mac song?
That is not.
It's definitely not Any Way You Want It.
The first clip that they had in the article I was looking at, they're like, Noel Gallagher. And they're like, and as soon as the crowd quiets down, someone goes, Wonderwall! And it's like this like eagle eye camera in the back of the room. It's like way over their heads and everything. And you just hear this one voice. It's so funny.
I mean, I've heard comedians talk about this a lot. I listen to too many things, too much comedy, too many podcasts, not enough music, regretfully.
Yeah.
Regrettably?
Well,
depends. Look, I'm not an English major. I'm not here to teach you about language. I am here to wonder. But I hear comedians talk about that, how like, you know, musicians, when they've been playing for as long as they have, they just, people yell out, they demand, they feel entitled to hear these songs. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go to see a comedian, you're not going to be like, do the bit from your second album.
People do.
Yeah,
people
you never saw Mitch Hedberg alive, did you?
Mitch Hedberg. Jim Gaffigan still gets people yelling Hot Pockets, also in the news.
Jim Gaffigan,
Hot
what
Pockets
happened?
Are in the news?
Hot Pockets are in the news.
What happened?
The heiress to the Hot Pockets fortune is going up for 5 years for bribing college officials to get her kids in.
Serious?
And got her daughter into USC on a fake volleyball scholarship. Yeah.
She's one of the ones.
She's one of the ones.
Operation
Hot Pockets heiress.
I have to say, any college owes allegiance to the lady who owns Hot Pockets. Like that's where they're all. That's where they're all.
That's what you're gonna pick.
Yeah.
That is. But yeah, no, we did Mitch Hedberg, and he just we did a weekend with Mitch Hedberg, and people were screaming jokes, and it kind of worked for him because he was a very funny guy, but he did not have a ton of material, so he was gonna get to him anyway.
He had material, but he was not in great shape during that last tour.
That's what I wondered.
And so people would yell stuff out, and to his credit, what he would do, he would do his set. And then he would go, towards the end, you can yell stuff out and I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then people would yell out jokes he did 15 minutes before. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, I do drugs. All right. I used to do drugs. I still do drugs, but I used to do two. Yeah.
That's a great joke. Yeah. But did he know what was going on? Was he performing fucked up?
Yeah.
He was living fucked up.
Yeah. When we were on the road with him, he was definitely indulging. Although we saw
two out of three shows he was okay.
Yes. Really? We saw three shows, and one of them he screamed at his wife and Al Madrigal, and
that was after the show.
No, that was on stage, that first show.
Oh, right, you're right.
Do you think Al Magical deserved it?
Not at all. This is where I met Al. I think it might have been where you met Al. And he was the MC on this tour and just trying to do his job and get along. And he got put in a really fucking weird position.
Yeah, because like they were going into like double golden overtime in the house and like... they had to get him off stage so they could turn the fucking lights off
and send all the crew home who were about to make $10,000 a minute.
Yeah. And then, so like, I was like going on stage to like get everyone to start clapping, like, hey, everybody, Mitch Hedberg, he's like, get off the fucking stage.
Oh no.
And then it's like, oh, all right. Yeah. I guess all three of those shows are pretty bad.
No. He had one show, and I think it was
opening show Portland?
In Portland.
But even that show was weird. He was wearing a goalie jersey.
Yes.
A giant hockey jersey that like made him look like a little kid. And
he
like
had,
Kevin Smith?
Huh?
Like Kevin Smith?
Yes,
wears?
like a
right, but Kevin he's Smith, you know an anorexic 5'9" Kevin Smith. And you know 113 pounds, and he's on stage and he started like talking real fast and
yeah,
he was moving a bit quicker,
yeah,
a little bit quick to anger.
It was.
I don't want to guess what was going on, but
there's a real cocktail of
yeah. You could probably consult his autopsy report and figure that out. But
was it comedians or comedy thing?
No,
this was
after that. It was same kind of. Same crew. Me, Cash, and the guy that directed it.
Yeah,
Blyden.
Yeah. We it was literally like after the movie came out and Comedy Central was like, hey, we want to do comedians of comedy. But also, we've been trying to do something with Mitch Hedberg for 10 years, and every single time we can't, it gets fucked up. Like, they tried to do a sitcom with him. They tried to do a couple other things, and it would just, like, all fell apart. And they're like, you go on the road with people. That's what Mitch Hedberg does. You should go do this.
At the time, he was on the he would only travel in this, like, giant Winnebago that he bought. Because he's like, it was him, his wife. Was it Al was on the thing.
Al would ride with them, but I think Al because it was also Stephen Lynch and Mitch Hedberg were co-headlining.
Yeah, and Stephen Lynch was on his own. He had like a tour bus.
I think Stephen would fly.
Oh, would he?
Yeah, and then Al would ride along, and then there was a manager.
You always hear about Stephen Lynch these days.
He, yeah.
Jesus. No, too I get, far. Actually, I don't even know.
No. He was a guitar comic that had like three Comedy Central presents in the early 2000s, and had a Mitch Hedberg like following. Like, they were good co-headliners because they could each bring out three quarters of a theater and then sell two shows. But it was very on the other side of Mitch Hedberg's.
Okay? Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Let's
play a song. We are going to play. I went back in the archives because of our theme this week, which we're going to get to in next. I went through the archives this week and looked back, and I found a submission from the Extra Action Marching Band. A guy that works at LucasArts sent this, and Jonah talked to him. These guys have backed up David Byrne.
Easy Action or Extra Action?
Extra Action Marching Band. They backed up David Byrne at the Hollywood Bowl. Jonah saw them there. They are out of San Francisco. They are a marching band, and this is called the Honorable Decry of the Shit Stall Lean. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Catch Hartzell sitting in front of an open window here to tell you about Audible.com. It's that time of year, pre-St. Patrick's Day, where everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts for the people they love. Well, think about giving yourself the gift of Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer of 53% off your first 3 months. Access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, erotica, thrillers, memoirs, and more. You can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook, and 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. You listen on any device, anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, at the gym, or during your St. Patrick's Day travels. With Audible, you also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. And right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. You just head on over to audible.com/radio or text radio to 500-500. Give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/radio or text radio to 500-500 to get 1 audiobook and 2 Audible originals absolutely free every month. This week, we are talking about a book called The Mardi Gras Death Mask, Curse, Superstition, or Murder. It's by Gary Graybill. It's narrated by Danny D. Aldringdorf. The publisher's summary reads as such. His name is Lieutenant James McNeil, but everybody calls him Gator. His reputation as the best homicide detective in New Orleans is about to be tested by the hardest case of his career. Gator is investigating a murder involving the most beautiful masquerade mask ever created, the wealthiest and most powerful family in New Orleans society, a 150-year-old voodoo curse, a million-dollar Gros Bruchette, all mixed with ambition, jealousy, and greed, and set in the excitement... Set in the excitement, enchanting food, and magnificent music of the charming and mysterious French Quarter. That's right. It's a Gary Graybill original, and you can find all about it on audible.com, especially if you head over to audible.com/radio or text radio to 500-500. The Mardi Gras Death Mask. And we're back. That was the extra action marching band with the audible decry of the shit Stalin. You know, the funny thing about this song, it's marked explicit. I don't think there's any words in it, but it's just explicit from the title.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It did feel pretty
explicit.
Racy, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I got feelings.
A little bit of that race music, which is what we're going to talk about in this third act problem this
music?
Week. Well, it's one of the things that's going to come up in this, I have to say. That is a little loud, but I lowered it. This week, in honor of Mardi Gras, we talk jazz and New Orleans and a little man I like to call...
Why are we talking about jazz in New Orleans?
Because it's Mardi Gras.
Oh, okay.
Because, I don't know.
Fat Tuesday.
It's Fat Tuesday. It's Carnival.
It's currently Ash Wednesday as we record
this.
Well,
as we record this in Fat Tuesday.
We all have our weird ash marks on our heads.
Yes, we do. All our Catholic moms.
I sweat through mine because I was sweating like a whore in church.
Oh, at church? Okay. We are going to talk about, one, the ultimate in hip-hop stardom, a man called Louis Armstrong. And now, why do you say hip-hop stardom, Cash? I can see you on your faces. Because you have to look at the life that he lived. It is... We don't need this back. Is this
wrap it up.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to... We're gonna talk about...
Flowery language, not welcome here.
All right. Now we have a title. Yeah, we're going to talk about Louis Armstrong and the crazy life that he led. Everybody thinks of Louis Armstrong, and they think of, and that is a matter of debate, whether it's Louis or Louis, but I say Louis Armstrong. Everybody thinks of this. Very boring ass.
Did he write that Kermit the Frog song?
He did. He did write the Leaves of Green. He was thinking about Kermit. Oddly enough, that
song was not a hit when he was alive. He was dead 4 years before anybody became aware of that song.
Practice.
Van Gogh style.
Van Gogh style, exactly.
And Frank style.
And Frank style. Less. Okay. But Louis Armstrong has a lot of parallels to hip-hop in that one of the things is Louis Armstrong started out playing spaz music. You guys know what spaz music is?
Obviously not.
No.
Like scabba weeb dab 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 like skibbity bitty bitty bitty.
That's scat. That does come up later.
Isn't it spazzy though, kind of?
It is a little spazzy. Well, the reason they called it
Cotton Eye Joe. Rednecks?
Yes,
where
rednecks.
Did you come from? Where did you go?
Ask him a big question.
Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Cotton Eye Joe.
Spaz music is literally music that people made on instruments they made themselves.
Oh, that's fun.
So
that's
like cool. That you would have a kazoo was like a kazoo and a harmonica were like the exceptions, but other than that it was like
jugs, washboards.
That people would make
propane tanks.
Well, they would make horns out of literally like pipe and funnels.
That's cool.
So he started doing
a ram's
that.
Horn.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like a shofar.
Like a shofar? He got his first horn actually from a and he wore Louis Armstrong wore a Star of David his entire life because he grew up living next door to some Jews who gave him money for his first cornet, so he always respected the Jews. That was just something else. But the same way Africa Bambaataa when he was inventing hip hop took made music out of things that were already there, in his case records. Louis Armstrong just did the same thing. Louis Armstrong is also a hip-hop hero because he got locked up on a gun charge. Sound drop? Oh, yeah, I lowered those when you were playing the music.
I also lowered it.
Oh, okay. He stole his stepfather's gun and shot into the air for New Year's 1912. Spent the next 6 weeks in a boy's home.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep. Number three, he met his first wife when she was a prostitute and he was a customer.
That's fun.
Yep. Followed her home where he found out she was married.
Ooh.
And then took her away from him.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
That's a real poor. Who is that guy?
That's
who's the other guy? Who's the ex-husband?
That's he rough. Was, yeah.
Look, I can live with you being a prostitute. As long as you come home to me, baby.
And
because I love you.
And someone stole her heart when she was out there.
By the way, we say sex worker now.
Sex worker. She was a sex worker. Well, they did. They didn't then.
I know, but
we'll clean it up.
We're better than the past.
There's a lot more on how he got his wife to marry him, including a knife fight. If you go check out his book, My Life in New Orleans, which is kind of like toned down a little bit because it was like 70-year-old Louis Armstrong writing it, but there's still a lot of like weird sex and violence that you're like, I can't believe they let him write this. Like, I can't believe they let him told this story. Well, you know that
maybe it wouldn't accept an editor or something.
That's probably you know, he's handy with the razor. You know that Snoop Dogg quote, "Smoke weed every day."
Sure.
That was a Louis Armstrong quote. Turns out Snoop Dogg is just quoting him. He smoked a lot of weed. He got locked up for it in 1930 in California at the Cotton Club. Mm. He served 9 days in jail, but continued using marijuana regularly for the rest of his life. He said, it makes you forget all of the bad things that happened to a Negro. He also described marijuana as 1,000 times better than whiskey. So he was hardcore before anybody was hardcore. He literally played his face off.
Ew.
You know what I mean by that?
No.
So either he played too hard or he never quite learned the right way to put a trumpet to your mouth, and he fucked up his upper lips it was actually painful for him to play.
Jesus.
Oh, geez.
He would play through that, and then when the swelling got too big, got so much that he couldn't put it to his lips, he would take a razor blade to his lips and shave them down.
What?
Yes.
Fuck that.
That's Satchmo, as they called him. Satchel Mouth.
Medicare for all.
He also has, I'm not going to go into them, but he also has like
a bunch of nicknames that if you ever use them to refer to anyone else, they would be racist. But because like Satchmo or Pops or anything like that, all these things that people called him, you tried calling anybody that now, it'd be like, but fuck like, you.
Maybe we shouldn't use them at all.
No, that's why I'm not like using
at
them.
At this point.
Yeah. No, I don't think we... Do you think we should retire Louis Armstrong's names in past? We just call them that now.
Cash, they're called sex workers.
Louis Armstrong's?
Yes.
Smoking weed was not the only thing he did every day. Louis Armstrong was a branding expert. And there's one particular thing that he became a major branding expert about, and that is the use of laxatives. Besides smoking weed every day, he took a laxative every day and was the dude that would tell you about how great his shits were.
Who was the one taking... Never mind.
Go ahead.
No, okay. I realized what I was going to say out loud. And I stopped myself.
Okay,
we're living in a modern era where you can admit when you're gonna be wrong and then stop yourself.
I like that. Well, he loved
course correction.
He loved laxatives so much he actually he loved laxatives, and he loved a particular laxative called Swiss Chris. He would change lyrics to be about Swiss Chris in the middle of songs. There's a bunch of live performances where he's give me that Swiss Chris. He had postcards printed up so they describe it, and it's,
were they a sponsor?
They were not that was the thing. He had nothing to do with them,
but guys, they are a sponsor of this podcast. Swiss Chris
when you're feeling a little radio
stopped up, yeah. Let's get that party started in your pants, Swiss Chris.
SwissChris.net/JonahRadio for 20% off your first order.
There's
an undisclosed location.
Oh, California. That's an ambulance coming for me.
He had postcards printed up of, it was a keyhole mat over a picture of him, kind of like the Coppertone girl, like kind of like bent over with his pants down, but sort of the butt was cropped out. And what was his?
Oh, God. I hate that.
The cards bore that picture of him sitting on the toilet as viewed through a keyhole with the slogan, Satch says, leave it all behind you.
Wow.
That's pretty great.
Nobody paid him to do that. He just loved Swiss Chris so much that he was like, fuck it. Everybody needs to take a good
product,
shit.
Then something was wrong.
So, and apparently he had dinner with the British royal family. And then got up and was like, hey, everybody needs to take one of these, and passed out Swiss Chris to everybody at the table.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. This is jazz legend.
He had a problem.
Well, or he had a solution is what it kind of sounds
That's
like. Because he's like this. Everybody just needs to take a healthy shit and get high.
I'm going to do a deep dive on these Swiss Chris things.
Yeah. It's pretty spectacular.
Are they still around, Swiss Chris?
I did not check into that.
I just want to find out what they were. It was probably like morphine and Metamucil.
Wrapped around black tar heroin.
Morphine is an opiate, right?
Right, so that's going to clog you up. So it's probably cocaine and Metamucil.
Now, why do you know that? Is it from train spotting? Because that's why I know that opiates make you constipated.
Look,
I just know it.
It's Trump's America, man.
Heroin makes you constipated.
That's why in that Ricky and Bobby, or no, not Ricky Bobby, Whitney and Bobby thing, mm-hmm. Bobby had to like go up, like.
You're doing finger puppets here on a podcast.
It's real gross. He had to like help her get something out of her butt.
Oh.
Because she was on a lot of opiates. Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the time Bobby Brown thought I was Seth Rogen?
What?
Yeah.
That's great.
What?
I told you. What's the lot that is Terra? Is the Gone with the Wind place? It's
Culver Studios. I think is going to be Amazon.
Oh, is it?
Or some one of the big streamers bought it. It's Quibi, actually.
Oh, God damn it.
It's not Quibi. I think it is Amazon.
But I was working on
something.
I got called
about my credit on the Quibi show today.
Uh-oh.
They were like, how do you want to spell it? And I was like, space, 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 space. No, I didn't.
Do you have to cut that out?
No, I told him what
it
was.
Well, he wants people to know who it was. Yeah. Watch it.
Bobby Brown was walking up to step into his black car, and I was there smoking a cigarette, waiting outside for a meeting or something like that. And Bobby Brown just goes, Seth, how you doing, man? I haven't seen you in forever. We ever going to do that thing that we said we were going to do? And I was like, sure, man. Yeah. Like, you just need to call me.
Oh, Bobby.
All right, man. All right. And then he got into his car and drove away. It was,
you locked Seth Rogen into some kind of project.
I kind of want to call his assistant and be like, hey, what Bobby called about?
Did I tell the story? I hope I didn't tell it on this podcast. The one and only other time I've been here, to the podcast studio.
Yeah, well, you never met Jonah.
I've never met Jonah? That's true. That's true.
That's not
he
true.
He seems like a fun guy. No, I like Jonah a lot. I had a similar situation, and I used to have really long hair, and I was at Disneyland with one of my best friends, and it was KLOS.
Yeah.
Mark and Brian.
Yeah, Mark and Brian.
Mark and Brian.
Legends. Legends in the...
At Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And they had, you know, a ton of Mark and Brian heads. And there was a guy who was like, I was waiting in line. And this guy goes like, hey, is your name Dave? It's like, no, Chris. You look like Dave Mustaine, man. Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. And I was like, nope, it's not me. He's like, all right, man. And then I saw him later at the park, and he gave me a look like, I know it's you, buddy. Like, secret safe with me.
He has a bizarrely high opinion of what he thinks Dave Mustaine would look like.
Yeah, also, because
you're
also
20
time,
years younger
yeah,
than him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I was so much younger. Yeah. This
you're 20
like
years younger than him, and we're not a metal guy for 20 years.
And then out of rehab for however long. And isn't he like a weird, like, Trump guy, flat earther now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah,
getting thrown out of Metallica does that too.
Mm. Megadeth was pretty good.
But I know you've seen it, but have you seen him interviewed in the Metallica documentary?
I have not watched the Metallica
documentary. The Metallica documentary, you don't have to like Metallica to watch it. Yeah. It
Some
is...
Some kind of monster, right?
Yeah. It is just balls to wall. Like, as more time has gone, like when my kids or their kids watch it, they're gonna be like, oh, this is like fucking Spinal Tap. Like,
it was like Spinal Tap when I saw it.
Yeah, it's just so dumb and so weird. Like, they're having therapist sessions as a band with a therapist.
Yeah, that's insane.
And then
Gary Goldman did that in his latest special.
It's fantastic. The therapist gives them like song title suggestions and lyric suggestions, and it's just great. But that's Louis Armstrong, the father of jazz. Like, he set it up. That was the other thing. I couldn't find a specific thing for this, but he everything he touched, everybody wanted to rip off for the next 60 years. This is a dude who basically had if he had put his name on the fashion that he inspired, he'd be a billionaire. He'd be Kanye now. But it was just Louis Armstrong for so long. And then you think about, like, when he started, came into America's consciousness in, like, the 20s to... He died in the 70s, I want to say.
No, he was on The Cosby Show.
Oh, 80s he must have died.
It's a rough legacy now.
That's a long fucking legacy. Time. Like, when you look at like you look at the Oscars from last week, and Eminem came to celebrate the 12th anniversary of his last good song, and Louis Armstrong did it for 80 years. It's fucking crazy. Anyways.
Wait, this ties into a game?
No. I was just talking
he
about
He did it. Die in 1971. I did just Google it because I was
what?
Curious.
How was he on the Cosby Myth?
Oh, it was Dizzy Gillespie that was on a Cosby Show.
So you just did what I stopped myself from doing.
Confusing him with Dizzy Gillespie.
No, some other black guy. No, it was I was wondering who was the guy who did heroin? It was Miles Davis. Right?
Miles Davis did heroin, and I was actually looking at like some of the crazy shit because he didn't, unlike Louis Armstrong, Miles Davis did not come from the streets. Miles Davis came from the fucking suburbs where his dad was a dentist. And then he got
my
to,
dad was a dentist.
Yeah, well,
like Bill Cosby.
Well, you're not tearing up the jazz charts.
He was an obstetrician.
Heathcliff Huxtable.
Yeah. But Miles Heathcliff. Davis got into jazz and then set about like proving that he wasn't a dude from the suburbs and was fucking mean. And I had a teacher who told me a story about Miles Davis. Miles Davis quit heroin in 1958. And he quit it to cold turkey. And it was known if you were going to get into a fight in New York City and you were a jazz guy, you called up Miles Davis because Miles Davis was going out to get into a fight that night. Whoa. And you would just have him at your back. Like he was going to fight anyways.
I feel like if he had a couple of Swiss Chris's,
I think it would have cleared up. Can you imagine like the two trumpet men running into each other and fucking, he's like, oh, you're kicking heroin? Here, have some laxatives.
Have a couple of Swiss Chris.
Take this nice glass of Alka-Seltzer.
Well, guys, we've reached the end of my short prepared thing, and I did not get any.
I thought you said end, and I was.
Well, no, I was because we've reached the end of it, and I didn't get a cue from you that it was boring. So
okay,
I call that a win.
Do you like that?
Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I know we all miss Jonah, but he's south of the border. We are lucky that we did have Mr. Chris McCaleb. We will get him in with Jonah eventually.
Do you guys think happened to Elliot Smith? I mean, just real quick.
Like, I don't know.
Was it pretty hard
to stab yourself in the chest?
No, it's in no way that happened. There's no way he stabbed himself in the chest.
I went to high school with a kid who did that as well.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not a good one. Not a good way to go, but it is like
I suppose if you did it really slow.
Oh, God. Worse.
I mean, but possible.
I feel like fast would be.
No, I feel like.
It seemed like music related.
Well, it's not new. I will say that. I'm glad you said for music olds, our closing
segment.
That's
right.
Music
Maybe
olds.
It was the owner of that stereo repair shop. It was like, I'm sick of people coming taking pictures in front of my place.
Well, he did not do anything about that.
Yeah. Well, no, they painted over it forever. And then.
Did they really?
Yeah, and then they repainted it.
And then those fucking people opened a bar in the middle of it and destroyed the entire thing.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys are looking for an update, because I think the Swiss Chris through line.
Oh, do they at least have a website?
Oh, they still make Swiss Chris.
Oh, my God.
It's K-R-I-S-S.
Yes.
Swiss Chris laxative. It's everywhere. What type of laxative?
Is that their selling line? Is like
Senna.
What? It
generally produces bowel movement in 6 to 12 hours. That's from drugs.com. Unbelievable, that's a real website.
Do they have it on Amazon?
Yeah.
I think we should do a...
You would do a taste test?
Do a trial, yeah.
Well, this doesn't go up till Friday. I mean, if we get it tomorrow and then we can...
No, I'm out of here.
Yikes.
No, that's right. You're going to Mexico.
Yeah,
you're be
Mexico will take care of that for you. No problem.
Oh,
just naturally.
Guys, if you're in Mexico this week and if you're listening to it, look to your left, look to your right. Might be Neil or it might be Jonah.
Or a friend of the show, Ben Getting.
It might be him. He's also in Mexico. We want to wish him a happy birthday. He only gets one every 4 years.
Happy 10th birthday to Ben Getting.
Whoa. This February 29th. Congratulations. Just a few more years and you'll be able to drive, buddy. Chris, you can find Chris
a few more.
Well, dude,
6 decades.
I mean, the rest of your life.
No, he's 16.
Times four, yeah. So 24 years.
Yeah, just 24 more years, and he'll be able to drive.
He'll get his permit.
He'll probably have grandkids at that point.
Driving's overrated.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, hey Ben, I don't know you, but just get someone to drive you.
Yeah.
That's what he's had to do for the last 40 years.
Is he married?
No.
Girlfriend. Oh, well, better luck next time.
Hey, Chris, do you anything you want to plug?
You can't get married when you're 10.
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul is airing right now.
Oh, yeah.
And we, every episode, if you watch the show and you enjoy the show and you want to hear behind the scenes, like how we make the show, we have a podcast.
It is a great podcast.
Insider podcast. And it comes out the day after each episode, which the episodes air Monday nights on AMC. I also am on a couple other podcasts. I'm sure people want to hear more
about. Yeah, you're doing a Criterion movies. Podcast?
Yeah, the
right?
Criterionauts.
Oh, nice.
Where we, because there weren't enough movie podcasts, we thought we would fill that gap. Joey Reinisch and I talk about, we sort of.
It's one a week?
Criterions. No, it's deeply infrequent. It's probably every other month we do that one.
Okay. But it's just but as long as they're covered.
Another one called The Rubric, which is impossible to describe. It's another movie podcast. It's like a movie competition podcast. It's hard to describe. Check it out. If you don't like it, then don't listen to it. our most recent episode, I think, was Mortal Kombat.
Ooh.
And it basically, the movie has to be graded on a certain rubric of qualities based on a topic. It's very hard to describe.
Yeah, you were right when you said that the first time.
Yeah.
Nino, you got anything to plug?
No. I'm starting a new show next week, and that's about it.
All right. Well, I
broke my toilet last week.
He did break his toilet last. I tried it last night. Went by. I wanted to make sure I had a review for our listeners this week, and I got to say, his house has only gotten nicer.
It's fantastic. It's really a cooler.
Nice, yeah.
It's silent.
They're not.
Have you given it the Swiss Chris test?
I look forward to.
I mean, really get in there. Really spend some time.
All right. One more New Orleans song. This is the New Birth Brass Band with "Who Dat Called the Police."
Hey, who that call the police? Man, we trying to play music, man. We in the sixth wall. Man, we can't much have no fun. Man, who call the police, man? Damn! Somebody help me! We'll be right back.